As we prepare for Christmas, the battle is it all about getting more things or is it all about your personal family tradition? As we prepare for Christmas, the battle is it all about getting more things or is it all about your personal family traditions? And do your traditions point to anything other than the Christmas orgy? Do you point to Christ?
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J., and it's quickly approaching Christmas. You're probably already doing your shopping right now, even as far away as it is. But family tradition has a lot to do with it because you're probably already starting some family traditions or planning for them. We have a lot of family traditions in my family that now I have the privilege of passing them on to my stepkids.
Like, what do you have? What are some of your Christmas traditions?
We always wake up on Christmas morning and we have breakfast together, and that's where we read the Christmas story. And then we go around the tree and we sit in a circle and we take turns opening the gifts so that the time lasts longer. And usually one of the gifts when we were kids, and now I'm doing it with my stepkids, one of the final gifts is sort of a treasure hunt around the house. So we have coordinate that. My parents did it for many years. And so you go to this place and they go running. And of course, there has to be a little order to the madness. So I have to coordinate it quite well so there's no fighting in the process. But it's a tradition and they love it and they look forward to it every year. It doesn't cost anything extra. It's just creativity.
It's who we are. There was a book called Tapestry Before You Were Born by Edith Schaefer. And she talked about that every family is a coat hanger and the traditions are the little things that hang off the coat hanger to make it different from any other coat hanger, any other family. And that traditions are very, 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 very significant. That was one of the major marital battles in the early years of my marriage. I grew up in a home where my mom died, and so it was a dad and all boys. And when you grew up in a home of a dad and all boys, Christmas lasts about 30 minutes,
right,
and Thanksgiving lasts about, depending on how long you want to eat before you get back to watching the game. So I marry into this very ethnic home. Rosemary's family, it's unbelievable. Every minute is scripted. Her dad was a pastor, and it's scripted from the point of Thanksgiving as the beginning of Christmas. And there are some fun, really non-spiritual traditions of watching Miracle on 34th Street. Now we have to watch them both, the old one and the new one, which is killing me, and all these things. But they really knew the meanings of some of the things you do at Christmas, or either they knew them or they made them up. The Christmas tree that we love so much, really being a tree that was an evergreen, living forever. But for us, it was cut off at life for us and put in. And so they would tell the story that, let me tell the story. You know what this tree is? Kids, this tree was living, but for us, it was cut off. It's kind of like Jesus. Jesus came to die actually on a cross, on a wooden tree for us. And then telling the stories of the lights that we're putting on and these bulbs, these special glass-like thin bulbs, as long as it's hanging on the limb, as long as it's hanging on the arms of Jesus, it's great. But you pull yourself away and you crash to the ground and shatter. They would go all through all these things. And I remember thinking, wow, either there's some meaning to all of this or they've made up great meaning that we just miss and we decorate without thinking. And, you know, the other one they would talk about is the lights. The lights don't light up till you plug it into the power. And as we were doing this, we would realize, wow, I'm getting the story here. And so there were a lot of things and a lot of statements they made. I went home to Rosemary for one Christmas, my first Christmas home with her, and we were newlyweds, and we went home for Christmas. And Christmas Eve, we go to her dad's church for the service, and they sing all the great old hymns, and he tells the Christmas story. And then we come home, and we sit around, and I'm sitting there in my clothes, and every other family member went off and got into flannel pajamas.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of
part of the fun.
Oh, well, I'm kind of sitting there a little weirded out. I don't even own flannel pajamas. And watching her brothers are huge. They're both pastors, but one was a serious discus thrower in the Midwest. Wow. And so these are big Danish boys. And they're in their funny flannel pajamas that are hilarious. And her other brother, who's a pastor in Tampa, looks like Tom Selleck. But it's not just flannel, it's a nightgown thing. It's totally weirding me out. And we each get to open one gift before we read the passage in Luke. And they hand me my gift, and it was flannel pajamas. And it was like, welcome to the family.
Aww.
It was a statement gift.
Right.
And everything had to stop till I went down in the room and got in my first ever pair of flannel pajamas.
Which weirded you out even more.
Which now I'm not sure I'm coming back into the room now. I don't even know what to do with this. But they were using Christmas and Christmas traditions to continually find different ways to tell the Christmas story, but also continuous ways to say we are family and you're one. Mm-hmm. I think we've so glitzed it, and we've so decided about what lawn ornaments we're going to put up, and we've so gotten so busy with the stuff of Christmas that our children have come to believe it is truly all about what you get and who got the best and biggest and most, and how can we outdo it. And a lot of parents, out of guilt, they're missing. Your children don't need that. Your children don't need that. Your children need to know they're part of a family that loves Jesus, and Christmas needs to point to that, and it's not the church's responsibility. So this is absolutely a great time to teach a lifelong lesson. So here's the deal here. Mom, make me happy today or make me happy forever. Make me happy on the 25th or make me happy forever. And if you're choosing to make me happy forever, you probably won't be giving me as much as other people get. And you'll probably be pointing me out and pointing me in other people's directions. And you're probably having me forced to sit and be ecstatic for what my siblings get. Mm-hmm. And learn how to cheer that. Which, don't expect them to get it. They're children. Let me repeat, they're children. But I have to not act like children and decide to supply some leadership and point in some different directions, most especially at a time I saw the other day, and I wish I could remember how many billions are spent marketing children right now Christmas. We're marketing children that things will make you happy, the next, the best. And what's happened is your generation, more than mine, has grown up and thinks, I liked this device that I talked through on the phone till I saw the upgrade.
Right.
And now I have to have the upgrade. I liked the whatever it is pad, but now I understand they're having another new iPad come out at Christmas. And the old iPad didn't have that. And do you think they didn't do that on purpose for a minute?
Yeah. Right.
And so it's like, how stupid are we? No one said, you know what? I liked the old horse that I rode to town on, but I just had somebody pass me on their faster horse. I got to have the faster, younger, skinnier horse. No, we are marketed, and our children will never be happy because there's never enough things to make me happy. I don't want to raise a child who can't wait to open the Christmas cards he gets from relatives to see what falls out, to see the green that falls out in that Christmas card. I want to raise a child that grows up eventually to realize it really is better to give than receive. I'm in a men's Bible study every Tuesday morning, about 150 men, and we prayed over a guy today who's getting ready to go out with an organization called New Tribes Missions. He's going out with New Tribes Missions into Tanzania, into a place, a people group where there's nobody. That's what New Tribes does. A wife, three little children, and they're going into a new tribe. The last friend I had that Rosemary actually supported while he was out there went up the Amazon, went into a village, built his own hut. I said, weren't you afraid they were going to kill you? He said, you know, I knew this is what God wanted us to do. Went in and spent almost a decade getting to know the tribe, getting to know the language so he could share the gospel with him.
Wow.
This guy today that we prayed over cannot believe, weeping, that God is giving him the privilege to go to nothing in Tanzania and to serve Jesus. Those are the warriors we need to raise. Mm. If life's all about having 16,000 more silly bands and the next things we get and the next electronic things we get, remembering my children are children, yes. If I had a child today, I would put some funny, silly bands in their stocking. But at the same time, I would focus on, let's buy some silly bands for somebody else. Let's buy a Bible for somebody else. Let's get really jacked over it. And after we delivered, however we delivered it, coming back, stopping, having some ice cream and saying, how did that make you feel? And when they, I don't know, one of mine said, actually, I really wanted that toy. and spending the time to say, I am so proud of being a family like this. And just getting a refocus to help them, because I am preparing them to be happy forever rather than happy momentarily until the batteries run dead. If you can learn to be happy forever, it's more blessed to give than receive. I am convinced God can trust you with more things and more things because you've learned how to share.
And it's kind of what the Bible talks about, being content.
Oh.
But I think as parents too, I mean, we want to see those smiles and the surprise and the shock on the face of our children. But we have to kind of deal with that contentment issue in our own life so that our kids learn as well. I mean, it's not just teaching the kids and doing good things, but what did you do from January to December also? Are you speaking a different language all of a sudden in December? I mean, are you connecting the dots?
Yeah.
Or, you know,
because
sometimes you can take December and take it a whole different direction, but if
either
you're not
way.
Consistent.
Yeah. Either way, you could listen to a radio broadcast like this and go wacko, and we're done with all of Christmas. We're done. And your kids are kids. I don't believe they're going to get that. And I think it's too much of a corner turn. I think it's an 18-year teaching. Mm-hmm. This is who we are. My daughter-in-law talking about every Christmas Eve, they would go to church for the Christmas Eve service. And then the whole family, two girls, two boys, and parents, would drive through Washington, D.C. and go to a homeless shelter and deliver socks, sweat socks, to homeless people. Just deliver socks. And I can just picture this little Rebecca Barnes, or Ferguson at that time, walking through, handing this cute little girl handing socks out. And her parents were teaching a lesson. My pastor that basically raised me, I came to Christ at 20 years old, and then met a man named Bill Billingsley, my pastor, and the impact he had. He got up every Christmas morning. This is amazing. And his children all got in the car, and they went over to the Broward Women's Correctional Institution facility, whatever you call it, way out in southwest Broward County. And they did a service Christmas morning for all the women, knowing that these are women with both basically without their children this Christmas. Yeah. And his kids would sing. His wife would play piano that they had there, and he would play his funny guitar, and they would sing and do a service and then come home and eat and open presents. And his kids were little. It killed them to wait. And if you talk to his adult children today, it's one of the biggest things they miss. If you talk to Laura Bevel, who is a pastor's wife here, Eddie Bevel's wife here in town, she just misses that. That's who we were. Mm. We gave to others first at Christmas.
But if you were to ask the children at the moment,
time,
right, are you enjoying this? I mean, they'll probably say, well, not really.
No, I'm sure they would say that. I remember when I was the interim at Wayside Baptist Church, and Christmas morning was Sunday, and my kids were in disbelief at 8 and 11 that we were going down to do church. We're going on Christmas? Dad, we're going on Christmas? And I said, honey, it's Sunday. Yes, we're going. It is a spiritual holiday. And Tori basically said, I repeat, we're going on Christmas. What's wrong with us? And she said, there'll be nobody there. There'll be nobody there, Daddy. There'll be nobody there. And there are times when, you know, we're going. I'm sorry. Discussion is closed. And we will open our gifts after this afternoon, right, after we get back and eat. Let's go worship the King at his birthday party.
And I'm sure if you're honest, you were probably thinking, yeah, I really don't want to have to go all the way down on Christmas either, but
I don't want to be that honest on the air.
Right. So.
And if I say anything else, probably the power will go out and on the entire studio and we'll get shut off. And I know Jesus is saying, wow, son.
Yeah.
Wow, son. And you know what? The walkaway was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Yes. Went down and the walkaway was absolutely incredible. I want my children to be truly happy, and I want them to learn what the verse you quoted from Paul. Paul grew up in a wealthy home, and Paul was indulged, and the Apostle Paul got to be absolutely trained in a great, great, great seminary. And then he comes to Christ, and then he's heard all over the world, all over the known world anyway, Asia and then Europe. And he spends his final Christmases in Rome, in prison, with nothing, loss of everything, loss of influence, loss of power, loss of things. And you can almost hear it in that Philippians passage. He almost adds the word, finally, I have learned to be content. Mm. It's not I bought contentment. It was given to me. I now live in contentment. I have learned to be content. And I don't want to add a word ever to Scripture, but I almost hear the precursor to that. I am finally content right here, doing what Jesus wants me to do. I have nothing to give. I'm getting nothing. I've learned to be content. There's a lesson in that. I want my children to not be happy by what they get. I want my children to learn to be happy by whose they are. That began when the calendar got cracked on Christmas morning, and all of a sudden our King put on clothes and came for us. And that's the celebration, teaching my children that, pointing at that on Christmas morning and Christmas season.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. This week we're talking about teaching the gift of giving, how to celebrate Christmas with your children, what to teach them. And we're going to continue the conversation tomorrow, how to keep Christ as the focus of Christmas. So I hope you join us at this time for another edition of Parenting Today. If you want more information about Sheridan House Family Ministries, Dr. Barnes, and the resources available through the ministry, you can go online to shfm.org. That's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. Ministries. That's shfm.org. And to send us your comments or questions for this program, you can go online to parentingtoday.org, where you can also listen to this broadcast all over again, share it with a friend, and read the corresponding blog that you can sign up for and receive in your email every day. That's parentingtoday.org. We'll see you here tomorrow for another edition of Parenting Today.